Merry Christmas, everyone. Praise the Lord. I love Christmas. I just really do. I love how people come together. I love how there's more joy because of Christmas. I love how people get reconciliated over Christmas. A number of years ago, back in my hometown, the Catholic Church put a Come Home for Christmas program out. And tens of thousands of people who hadn't been to church for decades rededicated their lives to the Lord. And it shows that, yes, it's commercialized, and yes, there's problems, yes, there's challenges, but you know, overall, the real meaning of Christmas is that Christ was born. And without the birth of Christ, there could be no death of Christ, or we couldn't have our freedom of our sins. So Christmas is a very, very important day. And by the way, for all of you I see that are here today that came and overcame challenges to get here, I want to thank you. I think God thanks you for making the extra effort to be here. God bless you all. I have a little fun in my office because where I sit at, I'm allowed to put my music on. I listen to praise and worship all day long in this little cubicle area of mine. And during Christmas time, though, I can put the Christmas songs on and raise the volume up and nobody complains. So it's cute to hear the Jewish guys going by the office singing about the Savior of the Lord. You know? And I believe they're speaking into being. I really do. You know, so. Okay, trivia question. What did the innkeeper say to Joseph and Mary when he got there? Even God himself couldn't get in here tonight. I have to laugh. My wife and I were driving around looking at the different Christmas decorations, the lights and things are out there. You know, you had a nativity scene, you had a few Santa Clauses, and then they got to the reindeers, and now you drive down, they got hippopotamuses and elephants and pandas. I'm thinking, are they celebrating Christmas or Noah's Ark? Like, come on. But that's Satan trying to pervert things, which he always does. Okay, and we get that. Our job is not to fall into the perversion. Our job is to keep reminding people that it's about a babe that was born. And if you remember the old Snoopy cartoon from back in the 60s, where Charlie Brown gets up there and makes this beautiful speech about it's all about a babe being born. And I just read recently that the network didn't want to play that part. But Charles Schulz, who was a devout Christian, says, without that part being in there, you're not playing my story. And they wanted the prophets of God to be played on there. And I think that's very, very interesting that he stood up to the networks. He didn't care about the money. He did what he thought was right in his heart, because the most important thing for him was to glorify God. Okay. And that's what Christmas is really about. We're really glorifying God. You know, Satan gets a day with Halloween. We get a whole season with Christmas. Okay? The Catholics start with Advent. We start 4 weeks in advance. And the whole series of prayers leading up to Christmas. And it's all about the birth of Christ. It's all about Christ. It brings you more into what the real reason of the season is. And while the gift giving is fun, it's still about Christ. We must always remember that. Okay. I'm very honored for Pastor Joshua to have given me Christmas Sunday. I'm really touched by this. Christmas is put on the 25th of December. We don't really know the date that Christ was born, but when they decided to honor Christ, they got together and decided that we would put the birth of Christ 1 week before the new year. So we could start off the new year in Christ, okay? And whether it's right or wrong, that's up for discussion, but that's why they did it. Now, what's interesting to me is that Christ changed the calendar. It is the year 2019 in the year of our Lord. It's not the modern day era. It's the year of our Lord. And as they want to change it from the year of our Lord, I'm pushing back by saying this is the year of our Lord. Okay, I refuse to give in to that. I don't believe that they can put that upon us. Okay. But that being said, let's get back to the birth of Christ. And I love when the Old Testament speaks out about what's going to happen. And Isaiah 7:14 says a virgin will be conceived and he will be called Emmanuel. So why did Joseph and Mary celebrate the birth of Jesus? Mary, a virgin, had a miraculous conception of Jesus, the Son of God. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled, saying, "Consider what manner of greeting this was." The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered, said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." That must have been a little bit terrifying for her. Mm-hmm. Angel coming in and saying, "By the way, you're pregnant." But with God, all things are possible. And she was honored and highly favored. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now the sixth month for who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary said, "The maidservant of your Lord." And I want us all to consider this as we go through this time period. Are we really servants to our Lord? Are we willing to do whatever the Lord asks us to do, as Mary did? Matthew 1:8. "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Mary stayed with Elizabeth. Luke 1:39-45. "Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, into the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." The babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb because he knew God was right next to him. "Then she spoke out with a loud voice, said, 'Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." Elder Elizabeth had miraculously conceived John the Baptist 6 months before Mary miraculously conceived Jesus. This was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. A certain priest named Zacharias, the division of Ahabaji, I hope I pronounced that right. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments, ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. They were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord, and the multitude of people were praying outside for hours of incense. That was a very high honor to be the one who burned the incense in the temple of the Lord. That was a very high-ranking position for this man. Angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, said, "When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and he shall call his name John.'" It's very interesting that many people are afraid of angels. We must be really attuned to know whether it's the angel of God or a demonic presence. Okay? "He will have joy, gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, as to drink neither wine nor strong drink. He'll also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to love their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and the disobedient to wisdom to the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife is well advanced in years." Zechariah had doubt. Okay, be very careful when the Lord speaks to you and tells you something. I don't care what your normal circumstances are. Do not doubt it. Okay? It doesn't matter. And the angel answered him and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you, to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak till the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled until their own time." I believe if he was not made mute, he would have let his tongue curse the situation and cause tremendous problems. So he was made mute. He didn't believe. He had doubt in his heart. So we must be very, very careful with our words as we teach here at ABC. Okay? We do not know the things that we can cause just by a slip of the tongue. So ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in all things of what you're saying in Jesus' name. Okay? And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived he had seen a vision from the temple, for he beckoned them to remain and remain speechless. So as soon as the days of his service were completed, he then departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." Okay. Joseph had a dream confirming Jesus was conceived. Now, Joseph was engaged to this woman, and back in those days, for a Jewish woman not to be a virgin was a tremendous insult. It was a tremendous challenge to him. He was considering divorcing her, okay? Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give to us a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Then Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, where he was to find a stable. By the way, that's prophesied in Micah 5:2, that we'd go to Bethlehem. Luke 2:1-7, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree was sent out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was a house of the lineage of David." Okay? This proves that Jesus came from the lineage of David. The people go back and test these things and challenge it and say, "How do you know?" This is how we know, because he came out of Bethlehem. "To be registered with Mary, betrothed to his wife who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, and because there was no room for him at the inn." Now, it's very interesting here that Jesus came into humble beginnings. He didn't come in as a glorified king. He came in humble beginnings. Now, I want you to consider that wherever you're at today is your humble beginning for what God has for you to do. Okay? A lot of people think, "Well, I'm older," or "I've made too many mistakes in the past," or whatever. Let it go. God has a plan for your life. Reach out, find that destiny, and push forth to it. Okay? And I don't care what your challenges are today, what your position is today, whatever it is, put it in the past and go forth. Okay? If it's good enough for Jesus to have humble beginnings, we should too. God had many celebrate the birth of Jesus, Luke 6:8-38. An angel appeared to the shepherds announcing that Jesus was recently born that same day. Luke 2:13-14, a multitude of angels appeared praising God after Jesus' birth, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men." Luke 2:21-35, Simeon saw Jesus in his eighth day circumcision because he was told by God he would see the Lord Christ before he died. In Luke 2:36-38, Anna bears witness to the Redeemer. I think that's pretty cool that the man who got to circumcise Jesus was one. He wanted to see Jesus before he died, and he got his wish. He got the desire of his heart. God blesses it. You have a desire in your heart, God will honor that too. Okay. So why did the wise men celebrate finding the baby Jesus? They journeyed from afar to worship the newborn King of the Jews. He who has been born the King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. The Greek word for the wise men is magi. Is this where we get our word magician? At that time, the term was used for magicians, legitimate scientists, astronomers, or wise, educated, revered men, and also people who studied sacred artifacts. Okay? And I believe these men were the wise men. They studied the ancient scrolls, and they knew what was coming because they had studied the ancient scrolls and figured out this was coming. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, who was a disgusting, despicable man, behold, wise men came from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose to have come to worship him. They saw a star. And they knew that this one star was so special that had to lead them to the king. I believe they've been researching these papers, as many people do today, looking for the end times. I believe they were looking for the records, and they finally saw it come together. And they had no choice but to go give honor to the newborn king. The chief priests and scribes confirmed to Herod of the prophecy of Christ's birth. Now, this shows that Herod, although he was a ruler, he was controlled by Rome. He was very afraid he would lose his kingship, governorship, whatever he wanted to call it, because he was on terrible relations with Rome. And he was always afraid someone was going to take his power away from him. Okay? So when he heard of another king being born, this really scared him. Okay? Matthew 2:3-6. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. All Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered the chief priests and scribes, people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel. When the wise men, Magi, arrived, they found Jesus in a home, not in a stable. Now, theory is it's like 2 years after Jesus' birth when they arrived there. That means after the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary decided to stay in Bethlehem for a while. It's when Simeon saw that Jesus after circumcision, the very star that they appeared at the moment of Jesus' birth, and the wise men followed it to meet the new king of the Jews to worship him. Okay. So even though the Bethlehem star appeared, it took the wise men months to reach him. This is not a star that special star really was indicating the birth of the King of the Jews. This is a very, very special star. They had traveled from another country, the east, to find the new king, where they found him, a newborn infant. Now, in today's planetary society, there are records of a brilliant star about 2,000 years ago. As I understand it, it's a series of stars that came together that formed a brilliance that was above all other stars. And apparently the star actually moved to be over to lead these men to him. Now this is a secular observatory that has gone back in records to find that there was a star. There's a lot of argumentation about how this star came about, a lot of argumentation about what it really meant, but to us it's confirmation that there was a star at that time over our Lord. Christians celebrate Christmas because it's the advent of the miraculous virgin birth of our Messiah, who became the Son of God to redeem us, Christ our prophet, priest, and king. However, the babe in the manger in Bethlehem is just the beginning of the story. Jesus grew up in Nazareth and ministered to many people, performing many miracles there. Jesus gave up his life to redeem us from sin, sickness, death, and eternal damnation. Now, sidebarring a little bit, it talks about Satan tempting Jesus after his 40-day fast. But I believe he had to grow up an entire lifetime of some kind of temptations. I don't believe he was protected for 33 years and suddenly this happens and he did it. I believe he was constantly under abuse of some kind and he had to stand on the words that he knew and to go through 33 years to still be the unblemished spotted lamb. I can't prove this. This is my theory, but it makes sense to me. I don't think Satan leaves anybody alone at all. And I believe he was under attack too. But it shows how truly miraculous it was for him to grow up and all those years not have to commit any sin at all. Okay? The Holy of Holies being found in a building made of mortar and stone, but is found in the hearts of every human being who says, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9. We must prioritize all joyous events of season to take away the true meaning of Christmas, for Jesus Christ is the real reason of the season. I love the parties. Come a big Italian family. Christmas dinner was fantastic. It went on for 3 days. You know, we started Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock, went to midnight mass. Christmas Day started up. We last there all night, and different households of the family, and we had lasagnas and raviolis and all kinds of goodies, and it was fantastic. All the family came together. It was in and out, but it was a reunion of the family. It brought us all closer together. I would see cousins I hadn't seen for months. They came by for Christmas. This was a joyous time. It really was. But we always remember that Christ was the reason, that because he became born, we did this. Okay? As we celebrate the birth of Jesus, let's remember that he lived and died for one purpose, to redeem men and women, boys and girls, from the devil's destruction. As we remember our Savior's birth, let us also celebrate his life, death, and resurrection, and thanking Jesus for setting us free. The Christmas lights, the Christmas carols, the Christmas gifts are fine. But we must always remember to celebrate the actual birth. Okay? Now the wise men bought special treasures of gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to worship the newborn king. Now, I want you to think about something here. Even the world understands the giving of gifts. Yeah. When I had my tailor shop, there was a fine men's store that was going out of business. The guy was retiring, he was done. His children didn't want to take it over, you know. So I went and boxed up all these Italian cookies and salamis and provolones and all this good stuff. I took his box there. It was about a 3-foot by 5-foot box of goodies. And I says, I'm sorry that your shop is going out of business, but I brought this for you and your employees. I also brought some business cards for my tailor shop that if anybody needs some alterations, that you may want to send them to me. He looked at that box and a tear came out of his eye. He took my cards and put them on the top of the counter. And all the other tailor shops simply dropped off cards. He took them and threw them in the baskets. He threw them away. So everybody who walked out of that store was referred to me because I gave a gift. I went there with just a little something. I didn't plan on that to happen, but I was glad it did. Don't misunderstand me. I was 6 months old in my business. That catapulted my business as though I'd been in business for 15 years. Because all these very successful people went to this man's store and their family suddenly became my customers. Okay? Now, Vegas knows about giving gifts. Anybody who goes into a casino, depending on how much money you can lose there, receives different gifts and different valuations. You know, at some point you get comped a free dinner. If you lose enough money, you get comped a free show. If you're gambling enough for this, you get comped that, you know. One time my wife and I had an investment conference in Las Vegas. And a friend of ours, who did a lot of business there, got us comped because she would take doctors there and they'd lose money and things like that. The bottom line is, everything was free. The room was free. They could have flown us in our private jet if we wanted it. We had every meal comped, no matter what it was. And Karen wanted a special dessert. They didn't have it, but they ran across the street to the next casino and got it and brought it back for her. She just casually asked if they had it. They says, no, we'll take care of it, you know. As I'm standing in line one day at the buffet, and this line is thousands of feet long, I guess, I reach in my pocket and I pull out the gold card. I'm looking at it. And this guy walks by me in a $5,000 custom-made suit, stops, comes back and says, oh, sir, you don't wait in any line. He grabs my arm and says, "No, I don't mind." He says, "No, sir." He grabbed Karen and pulls up to the very front of the line. Place wasn't opened yet. Opened up, says, "Gold card, people," and let us in. The point is, they knew how to give gifts to people. Right? That's the point. Not that we were, but they knew how to take care of their special people. They knew what gifts were important. Okay? Now, if you're a Saudi Arabian prince and you want to impress somebody, you buy them a Gulfstream 5. That's what they do. They got billions of dollars, 50 million is nothing to them, so they give them a Gulfstream 5. A mediocre friend, they get a Rolls Royce. Okay? All right? My point is this here. The Magi wanted to go honor the king, and they took the best for him. They weren't necessarily looking for anything in return, but they wanted to bless him with the best. Okay? So let's talk about this a little bit. Gold. Gold is a gift worthy for a king. Gold, because scarcity, was immense value. Gold was a valued commodity in the ancient world. It was also the only currency at that time in the world. We didn't have paper currencies back then. Gold was particularly associated with royalty and nobility. It was customary for royal visits to bear treasure gifts intended to honor the newborn king. By bringing a gift of gold, the wise men showed they did indeed consider Jesus a king, even though he was a baby. Not only at Christmas, but every day of our lives, we should consider Jesus our king. You know, the walls of the most holy place and the altar of the temple were completely overlaid with gold. This act may have been foreshadowing the ministry of Jesus becoming the most valuable sacrifice of atonement as our king on behalf of his people when he went to the cross on Calvary. Jesus got a gift of gold. He gave us the gift of eternal life. Frankincense is an incense burning the strong, beautiful aroma which represents its holy prayer. It was very, very costly. It was not commonly used as a household air freshener. Considered pure and holy, frankincense was closely used as ceremonial worship of a deity. Okay? It is the only incense permitted in the altar of the temple. Very, very rare. Just as the wise men understood the prophecy the newborn king carried to claim his deity, we celebrate every day, not just Christmas, by worshiping Jesus as our Lord, God, and Savior. The only pure and holy offering consecrated by the Lord is the unblemished sacrifice lamb for our tree. There are very special trees. They have to scrape the bark down. They have to dry it out. And a lot of bark dried out makes a very, very small amount of frankincense. But when it burns, it's the sweetest, most amazing aroma, as I understand. I've not personally smelled it myself. But it was very, very unique and special. It's a lot of labor to make frankincense. You couldn't just pluck it out and say, this is it. It was very, very time-consuming. Myrrh. Myrrh is a fragrant perfume used in embalming bodies. Now, this tells me that the Magi knew Jesus' purpose. They had read in their scriptures what Jesus was coming for, and they wanted to present the very perfect gift for this person who was a king and a priest. The gift can be seen as prophetic death of the Messiah. Myrrh is used as an incense, but the ancient world is also used as a perfume, anointing oil, and the key ingredient in the mixture of spices that were used to prepare bodies for burial. Perhaps the wise men intended the gift as an indication of Jesus' humanity. Liquid myrrh was the main ingredient in the anointing oil used ceremonially to prepare priests, the instruments of the altar, and the temple itself before the sacrifices could be made. We can celebrate Christmas and every day remembering that Jesus lived a consecrated, sacrificial life till his death. We should die to self and live a consecrated life unto God. Thank you, the Lord, Jesus our prophet, who fulfilled all the prophecies and died for us so we could be set free. Prophetic foreshadowing that Jesus would die to save us. Now I'm going to think of another gift, John 3:16. For God so loved the Lord that he gave his only begotten Son to us. Okay. The three gifts symbolize the Messiah's offices of prophet, priest, and king. By the way, we are all prophets, priests, and kings. Amen. We need to assume every office the Lord has for us. We cannot detach and take one. As people tell you, we are all. We be all things to all people as Christ was all things to all people, because we are in Christ, in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, these valuable gifts financed their flight to Egypt. As soon as the wise men departed, angel of the Lord came to warn Joseph of Herod's rage and wanted to kill the baby Jesus. So Joseph was starting to take refuge in Egypt, a journey of over 100 miles. For a family of a humble means, this, since Joseph was a carpenter, to this magnitude would be difficult to make without God's intervention. Now, this is in Isaiah 6:60. The wealth of the nations come to God's people through Jesus, the wealthy gifts from the Magi and from another nation used for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus to take refuge to another nation. We should celebrate Christmas thanking God of wealth of nations coming to the people. Now, I've had the honor of meeting a gentleman named Peter Daniels twice. Peter Daniels is a God-made billionaire. He was a mental functional illiterate. He was considered a dunce in his school. He was constantly punished and put in the corner because he couldn't understand what the teacher was telling him. He became a bricklayer because labor was the only thing he could do was put bricks together. He went to a Billy Graham event to make fun of Billy Graham. In there, he got saved. In getting saved, he totally accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he would lay down on the floor and say, God, heal my brain constantly. He didn't know the affirmation we teach at ABC, but he basically did the same thing. Prayed to God to continually heal his brain. In doing so, God made him such an astute businessman. He now speaks multiple languages. And he's a multi-billionaire. In his love for God, he researched the wise men coming to see Jesus. And through his research, has determined that the gifts given to Jesus were worth an estimated $400 million in today's economy. These men gave the best to their Lord, the absolute best. I'm not asking you to give anything physical to our Lord. By him on this day that we celebrate Christ and his birth, to ask, are we giving enough of ourselves to our God? Are we giving all of ourselves to our God? He gave all to us. He gave it all. He left the Lord. He came down here, was born, lived here amongst us, sin-free, took tremendous punishment, and died for us. Are we willing to do that for our Lord? Was it Galatians 2:20? For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. Today, I'm going to ask for a gift to our Christ. Thereby rededicate all their lives, that it's not I who live, but he who lives in us. He gave his life for us and loved us so much that we love him enough to live totally, 100% for him in everything we say and do. And I encourage you that when you do this and take out any selfishness we have to our old self, but to live in Christ in this manner, that 2020 will be the best year we've all ever seen. Amen. Amen? So I'd like to close in prayer, if I may. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for this day we come to honor the birth of your Son that you gave to us, and that he graciously gave us his life to make us sin-free and take all sickness and challenges away from us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that with him inside of us, we can live a truly godly life, a life of Christ, inspired by the Lord. And I bless everybody here and on the internet receiving this to have a total, true acceptance of Christ in me, not I, but Christ in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you.